Hello and welcome to the OMFIF podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends in investment and economic policy from some of the world's leading commentators. On this week's episode, we talked about Madame Lagarde and the future direction of the ECB. This is Ellie Groves, and today we talk to David Marsh, OMFIF chairman, and Mark Sobel, OMFIF US chairman. David is in many ways an honorary German, formerly co-founder and chairman and deputy chairman of the German-British Forum, and worked for the Financial Times in France and Germany. Mark is a veteran US Treasury official who represented the US on the International Monetary Fund Executive Board up until April 2018. So has worked with Madame Lagarde, which we will get to later. Thank you both for joining us today. My first question is if you think there is any significance in Madame Lagarde not mentioning monetary policy in her first outing on her first day as president of the ECB. Mark, if I could turn to you to offer your thoughts on this.
I wouldn't read anything into it. I think she was frankly wise not to do so. She'll have many years to comment on monetary policy. It might have seemed a bit presumptuous for her to do so on the first day. And in the meantime, she has a very close relationship with Wolfgang Schäuble. I think she was right to focus on him. He'll go down as a great man in German history, a true supporter of Europe. And that is true, whatever your feelings towards his economic views are. And why would she want to detract from him on a night designed to honor him?
I think that's a very measured and fair assessment. David, do you have any further thoughts?
She's an admirer of Schäuble, without a doubt. It was a bit of clever public relations, I think, that she should be called upon to make the rather lavish laudatory speech for Mr. Schäuble on this awards ceremony for the group of German publishers in Berlin. And clearly she wanted to avoid doing anything that could inflame passions in a negative way. Her job, I think, is to smooth over some of the disputes that have arisen between the body politic in Germany and the ECB. And on her first outing, she did everything that could be expected from her.
I think that that follows on quite nicely to your thoughts on the monetary policy position the ECB finds itself in. What do you think Madame Lagarde's next steps and timeline will be? How likely is it that she'll continue the trajectory of unconventional monetary policy? Or will she heed the words from the memorandum from the 4th of October, which was in the FT and was penned by six former central bankers, including Ottmar Issing? Where do you think her thoughts are on this? Mark, again.
Perhaps I have a simplistic view, but it strikes me that euro area growth is fairly anemic and subpar. The ECB has a mandate to achieve price stability, which it has defined as just below 2%. Euro area inflation has consistently well undershot its target. So try as it might, the ECB has been failing to achieve its mandate, but it still has to try to achieve its mandate. And in that regard, when Mario Draghi was president and trying to achieve the mandate as well as avert a catastrophic breakup of the euro, he appropriately launched unconventional monetary policy. He's going to go down in history also as a great man. He saved the euro. He launched highly accommodative policies. And I feel that highly accommodative policies are still absolutely needed in Europe. And I have little doubt Madame Lagarde will continue these. Now, I've said in OMFIF commentaries that I think Draghi did her a favor with his September actions. They were bold measures. I believe they will give her the space for many months to conduct a strategic review of monetary policy in the euro area. I'd expect that review to look at the ECB's mandate, the 2% inflation target or objective, to look at the toolkit, and to look at communications with the public and in the market in particular, before seeing what's next on tap for monetary policy. I think she's a good listener. I think she well understands the sentiments behind the letter from the six former central bank governors, but I doubt their views will much sway her because the letter offers criticisms, but it really doesn't offer a plan forward, let alone a viable one.
David, do you have anything to add from a potentially a slightly different perspective?
Well, I think Draghi went too far, frankly. And I think that we have to think of the end that we want to achieve out of all this. The end is to achieve better growth, higher prosperity, better stability, higher inflation as well, all those things. So I'm just wonder whether doing more quantitative easing is the way to do it. The way to go forward, I think, is for the Germans to abandon this crazy balanced budget discipline that they've introduced into the constitution. You can't do that overnight. I think the best way of doing that is to actually show the Germans an olive branch. You might think I'm being a bit too conciliatory here, Mark, but I think if Mr. Draghi had just thought about this a bit longer, he might have thought that the way to do this is actually to show the Germans a bit of understanding and to say, we're not going to do this straight away. We're going to do all the other things in the package, but not the asset purchases. We're going to leave that until Mrs. Lagarde comes in to make up her mind on that. But we are going to use the manoeuvring room we've got and her considerable negotiating power behind the scenes to try to do the right thing from a fiscal point of view. It's absolutely clear that the Germans need a big tax cut. That's what I would advocate. That would really get the animal juices going again. I think if you force the Germans into a corner, and that metaphorically is what is going on now with the ECB, they feel cowed and reluctant and they feel beaten up, even though you could say it's all silly because the Germans are doing very well economically. I think it's the wrong way to get them to do something. So I agree with you, Mark. We need to get fiscal policy into a better space. I would just argue that he's done the wrong thing tactically. Strategically, the right thing to do because you want to get inflation up. Tactically, you force the Germans into a corner and they will likely be rather reluctant and recalcitrant and hesitant to do the right thing fiscally.
I also wanted to ask about how much room does she have? And I wonder if that's because monetary policy has potentially run out of roads and actually feels that the space it's occupying shouldn't be continuing. Though obviously the Draghi, whatever it takes, he's done whatever it takes, and actually it's now time for fiscal to step in. Or do you think that Madame Lagarde actually does have some more space?
Let me comment on that, and then let me come back to Germany and David's remarks. I feel there's widespread agreement that monetary policy is less effective at the zero lower bound. Monetary policy could clearly be more effective if it were supported by fiscal policy among those countries in the euro area that have fiscal space, as well as greater efforts to build up a euro area architecture. That could be banking union. Perhaps there's been some recent developments on that front, but more importantly, centralized fiscal capacity and the like. Now, some feel that monetary policy has reached a reversal point and can no longer do more. I'm not sure I buy that. Yes, lower rates can have drawbacks on savers and for bank net interest margins, but they can also lower credit costs for firms, benefit household consumption, home purchases, etc. And importantly, fiscal authorities in European nations, as well as European nations with respect to euro architecture, if they don't step up to do their jobs, then Madame Lagarde will still be running a central bank that has a mandate to be achieved. So we can quibble about whether Draghi went a little bit too far or not, but the direction he was traveling in September was clearly the right one. I don't expect Lagarde to deviate from Draghi's overall accommodative course in the near term. And I think the euro area will remain mired in poor performance and necessitate continued strong accommodation in the coming years, and that any central banker would face that situation. So let me just turn to David and David's comments on Germany and fiscal policy. So I think risk reduction and risk sharing have to go hand in hand. I think Italy has to step up its game and do its homework. Is Lagarde going to change the German mindset on fiscal policy? I'm skeptical. I think she will try. I do hear in the media that the fiscal debate is evolving a bit in Germany, but I'm not sure it's enough to change the realities on the ground. We don't see the Schuldenbremse changing. We don't see the debt brake changing. And when I've heard Germans speak of the need to do infrastructure, they just as quickly note it takes years and years to do it well. And when you ask German officials about the balance between risk reduction and risk sharing, basically all of their body English says it's risk reduction, period. So I think Germany deserves great praise for its economic stewardship, but it seems to me that the Northern European view of the ECB can be quite unfair, and that Northern European politicians have a responsibility to level more with their publics and support the ECB. So I see Germans lamenting Strafzinsen, punitive interest rates, that is the impact of rates on German savers and the hits to net interest margins in banks. Now, Germany is a country that saves excessively in the eyes of most people. When you have excessive saving, interest rates are going to decline. The German banking system is widely regarded as not in good shape. It's seen as overbanked and not particularly profitable. So U.S. banks as well have been dealing with the flattish yield curve in recent times, but they are making money hand over fist these days. I don't think Northern European politicians tell their publics how they benefit from the euro. So stronger asset prices, including from homes, lower credit costs, how the real German euro has a competitive advantage relative to others in the euro area, which supports German growth, and how Germany's current account surplus reflects the absorption of demand from the rest of the euro area and the world. So in my view, Helmut Kohl brought Germany into the euro area. Monetary policy must be made for the union as a whole. The way I think about this analogously is take Canada. So you have Alberta, a western province, it's a major oil producer, and then you have Ontario, which is a more traditional manufacturing center. Well, the Canadian Central Bank has to make monetary policy for all of Canada, not just one region of it. And similarly, when a Fed regional bank president goes into the FOMC meeting, he or she has to think about the nation as a whole and economic developments in it, tinged, of course, by his or her regional developments. I'm not sure that there's a similar mindset in Europe. So I think Italy has to do its homework, but the Hansa mindset needs to change. I don't think the problem is with the ECB's thinking. I think many national governments need to decide whether they're prepared to take the responsibilities to support the monetary union.
Now going to ask David if he agrees on a couple of those points. Firstly, on if the fiscal conversation in Germany is moving along, and then also to take a little bit of unpacking in regards to the monetary policy should be taken as a view of the whole of Europe, which is part of what the ECB's mandate will definitely be, but how in practice, and perhaps unpack some of the thoughts you have there.
Yeah, I agree that the fiscal policy debate is not going very far, and I think it's going to go less far, frankly, as a result of what I call the Germans being pushed into a corner. I'm not particularly sanguine about them doing the right thing fiscally. So there I would agree with you, Mark, but I don't think what Draghi did in September is really going to make matters any better. It's probably going to make things a bit worse, I believe, looking at it in the cold light of day. In terms of trying to get the Germans to think about the euro area as a whole, of course they should do that. It's not a political union, unlike in Canada or the United States or the United Kingdom. That's one of the big problems, that people don't actually think of the euro area as one single area. And unfortunately, the ECB has become quite politicized over the last 10 years for all sorts of reasons that maybe are inevitable. The individual governors are now there, actually, unfortunately, to represent their countries, no longer to represent Europe as a whole. That's just life. That's the way it is. I don't think it's going to really change. Again, just going to the outcome of all this, my own belief, Mark, is that the German savings rate will probably go up as a result of these negative interest rates, because the Germans, unusual creatures though they are, they tend to save a certain quantum every month. And if they get less return, they don't do what the Brits or Americans would do and just sort of give up saving and go out and spend it all. They actually save a little bit more. So I think the German current account surplus will actually go down by less than it would otherwise have done, because I do actually see growth in Germany and inflation in Germany continuing to be suboptimal, despite this additional asset purchases. And as you know, Mark, there are these very interesting technicalities which preclude the Germans from actually, the Bundesbank, from buying the requisite quantities of Bunds that it should actually do under the famous capital key, because there's just not enough Bunds to go around. If we could jointly get the German government, Mr. Scholz included, that's what he should have written about in today's FT article, to actually issue more Bunds, then they're under the very obscure capital key regulations, the Bundesbank would be able to buy more of these Bunds every month. As it is, there'll be a disproportionate purchase of the Italian government bonds by the Banca d'Italia because of this capital key and the issuer limit of the 33%, something which the Germans don't want to tangle with. So unfortunately, this measure will end up with having more inflation in Italy than in Germany. The competitiveness of German enterprises will continue to be quite high, because German inflation, I think, will continue to be much lower than it really should be. The way to get German inflation really going, and it needs to be 3 to 4%, is through a tax cut, as I've said. And that would be the way to also unleash the animal spirits of the German economy. Unfortunately, that looks less likely to take place, I believe, because of Mr. Draghi's actions, than would otherwise be the case.
I think what this comes back to is a whole other podcast on whether the monetary union can continue without the fiscal union, and actually what space that offers and how the ECB works together and is looking at the EU area as a whole without it being a political union, and the intricacies and challenges that that throws up. One of that challenges is at the moment you see a very divided governing council. And I want to kind of end with the question around Madame Lagarde herself and her capabilities of perhaps bringing together that divided governing council, but still making decisions that some members may disagree with, and perhaps the next steps that she will take. So Mark, you've worked with her previously at the IMF. You know that her style of working, it has been discussed quite a lot as well about her collaborative approach. Do you think that she does have those skills that can bring the council together, but also deliver what is needed and making those decisions for that price stability mandate?
I have lots of faith in her abilities. She's extremely smart. She is efficient. She's organized. She made good personnel choices and built an effective leadership team at the IMF. Some say she's not an economist like Bernanke or Draghi. Few are, but she well understands economics. She has good policy instincts. The ECB staff is first rate. She's a good diplomat and consensus builder. She's a good communicator, not only externally, which you see with the public, but internally. She speaks to people and I think works hard to bring them along. I have no doubt she will do her utmost to work with others on the governing council. I expect things to go smoothly. I'd also expect her to try and persuade national leaders of their responsibilities to support the union. This is going to prove far more challenging. So I think she'll work very well and effectively in the governing council. But to tie this back into my previous remarks, to me, the question is not so much whether she can bring the governing council together. The question is whether national leaders are prepared to do their job to support the monetary union.
Thank you very much for that, Mark. And thank you both for joining us. It has been very interesting to hear the differing views on the Draghi whatever it takes loosening of monetary policy stance in achieving the overall mandate of price stability and the target of below close to 2% inflation. Ultimately, Madame Lagarde seems to have a real challenge ahead of her in bringing together not only the divided governing council at the ECB, but also in convincing German policymakers to move forward on fiscal stimulus and in euro area integration reforms. We look forward to continuing to analyse the effectiveness of this through future podcasts and OMFIF commentary. One is currently on our website now. David Marsh penned a piece on ECB and German consolidation and meeting in the middle on some of these areas, so do have a look at that. Please do subscribe to our podcast channel, and if you've enjoyed the programme or have a further comment, then do leave us a review. This has been Ellie Groves from London, and thank you very much, Mark Sobel and David Marsh, joining us in this discussion, and also to you for listening.